Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Welcome back. Hope you're having a great afternoon. And it's good to be back in the house and to be with you guys out there. And we've, of course, been talking about life for 3 or 4 months. It's always on this show. We talk about it regularly, as we should. I can guarantee you this. There's a 99% chance I talk about it way more than your pastor does. But that's a topic for another day. but talking about it a lot, and God just continues to use unplanned. We've talked about a lot, and I don't know. Some of you might be like, "Oh no, another show about saving babies." Yes, if we were in Nazi Germany, 1942, and I had control of the airwaves and was able to do that without being shot and killed, we should be talking about it regularly. We don't talk about it every day, but don't be surprised if you hear it every week on the show, as we should, because we're in the midst of a Holocaust, so that's why we continue to talk about it. Not just, by the way, talking about the babies, but the moms and the dads and everything that happens after that as well. But unplanned, 94 people now, 94 abortion clinic workers have now reached out to Abby Johnson in the last 3 weeks to get out of the abortion industry, and all kinds of people are moving from the pro-choice crowd to the pro-life crowd. So amazing things going on. But one of the big things that I've seen happen, it happened at the pre-screenings we did here in North Carolina back several weeks ago. It's happened at other screenings I've been involved in, and things that I've been hearing from the directors and producers and actors and actresses is, after every showing, people are like, okay, what can I do? How can I get involved? Where can I serve? How can I move from just saying I'm pro-life? Because I always talk about James, you show me your faith by what you say, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. You say you're pro-life, but what do you do to prove it? So that's the question. What can we do as a response to unplanned? And of course, not the least of which would be to pray, but there's also all kinds of ways you can actually get engaged. And one of the ways that you can get engaged, whether you're here in North Carolina or really whatever state you happen to live in, Human Coalition, which is all around the country, women's care clinics, and just doing an amazing work, doing some cutting edge things with technology and with a call center in Dallas, Texas. And one of my good friends and one of my heroes in the faith and in that movement is Amber Lehman, who's been on this show many, many a times. And I think you've even guest hosted, haven't you, Amber?
I have.
You have. You've done that before.
I handled it for a whole week one time when you were on vacation.
How was that? What kind of experience was that for you?
It was fun. It was fun.
It was. You survived.
I should do it again.
Now, I did that to our lieutenant governor once, and he'll never forgive me. Dan Forrest, who hopefully is going to be our governor in the near future, but he was like, I'm never doing that again. But I had a 3-hour show at the time, so that was a little stressful. He lined up every semi-famous and pretty famous person he could find and got them all on there because he was a little nervous about filling 3 hours. But anyway, it's great to have you back on. We have a special guest from Dallas, Texas, which is what? Is that the mothership? Is that the HQ of Human Coalition down there in Dallas?
That's where our headquarters are.
All right, so introduce us to Lori. Tell us about Lori, and Lori's on the line with us right now.
Yeah, so Lori Zala is one of my heroes. She's our national director of client services. So she is over all of our women's care clinics, our virtual clinic, all things that interface with the client. She's the woman.
And we're gonna learn all about that virtual clinic, because that's really cutting edge in the life movement. Lori, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having us.
You're very welcome. Well, I'm gonna go to you first, actually, and just tell us kind of your own background. I know you used to run an individual clinic, and now you're working with Human Coalition. But how did you get involved with the movement in the first place, Lori? Tell us a little bit about your story, and then we'll throw it back to Amber. But I'm not going to give her as much time to talk as I will you. So take your time.
Thank you. Well, actually, for the last 19 years, I've been involved in this ministry and working at a pregnancy resource center up in Pittsburgh, PA, counseling women experiencing crisis pregnancies who were considering abortion. But before that, I became pregnant as a teen, and I was one of our clients. I walked that road. I was considering abortion. And it wasn't until a friend sat in front of me and shared her own abortion story that I decided to choose life. And I am now the proud mother tomorrow of a 31-year-old son.
Wow,
and
cool.
Yeah, so that's my story.
And so what was kind of the linchpin that moved you from being the recipient of like women's care clinics to being an activist and somebody that's involved and then full-time employment? What was kind of the linchpin? What took you into that arena?
Well, actually, it was all God, obviously, that took me out of the financial investment world into helping a pregnancy resource center part-time while my kids were younger. And I felt that was a calling on my life. And so I started to do ministry at that pregnancy resource center in Pittsburgh. And I soon became connected with Human Coalition and started working with them. And from there, we just joined forces with Human Coalition. And 2 years ago, I transferred down to the home office and am now helping our women's care clinics that we own and operate around the country.
Down in Texas.
Exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Down in Texas.
So exciting. Down in Texas, actually the state of my birth. Amber is a Carolina girl. So Amber, but your story really isn't terribly dissimilar from Lori's.
No, except for I chose abortion.
Right.
And so, so I aborted as a 16-year-old, and 8 years later, after a lot of debauchery, the Lord got a hold of me and opened that wound wide open about a month after that on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, where I realized that I had not terminated a pregnancy, removed the products of conception, had a procedure. I had taken the life of my human child, and I was undone by that. And the Lord used my pastor to help me get on the road to healing and dropped me into Southeastern Seminary.
Where we sit today.
Where we sit today, recording or going live on
recordings
this.
For wimps, Amber. We go live.
I know. You probably have vinyl records too.
thanks for that.
So the Lord just, I thought I was going to do foreign missions, and He closed those doors, and I ended up as the executive director of a local, what we would call traditional independent pregnancy center, and grew that for 10 years. And we had a close working relationship with Human Coalition, who was doing our marketing, our online marketing, and our contact center, making the appointments. And we just were kind of two hearts beating together. So we were the third clinic to hand over the keys and merge in and become owned and operated by Human Coalition.
Yeah, which is an exciting concept as we kind of link arms and take advantage of economies of scale and all kinds of other stuff.
Absolutely.
When all these individual crisis pregnancy centers come together and then form this nationwide chain that we now call Human Coalition Women's Care Clinics. We're going to keep talking to Amber, and we'll talk to Lori. We're going to find out about these virtual clinics, and we're also going to talk to Serena, and her son is here, and that's all part of the story as well. And then we'll answer the question, whether you live in Raleigh or North Carolina, wherever you're at, what can you do? Guess what? We've got an answer for that. We'll be right back. Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about, one of the most important things we can talk about outside of salvation itself, which is the life issue, here with Amber Lehman, my good friend from Human Coalition, just a nationwide network of women's care clinics, and also a virtual clinic, which we're going to talk about from Lori Zala. She's also on the phone with us from Dallas, down there at the mothership with Human Coalition. And Lori, again, thanks for being with us today and for calling in. And I wish you were here in person, because then you could help me deal with Amber. But unfortunately, it's just me and Serena here to deal with the force known as Amber ourselves. Tell us about the virtual clinic. The first time that Amber told me about this, and perhaps it was Bob Touchton and maybe Sean, some other people. This is awesome. This is revolutionary. I don't think this has ever been done before on the issue of life. But tell us about the virtual clinic at Human Coalition.
We're very excited about it. It started in June of last year, where we started serving women immediately. So as that woman is finding out that she's pregnant, she has already made her mind up. So she's searching online for an abortion, or information on abortion, or where she can go to get that information. And she happens upon our ad, and that ad draws her to a phone number. The phone number rings at our contact center, and those agents pick up the phone and immediately start a conversation with this client who is afraid and feeling alone and unequipped. And our goal, once we answer that phone call, is to educate and empower that woman to make the best decision for her life. And we do that through a very structured conversation with a nurse. We start to educate her. So in the moment that she is making the decision to abort and reaches out within moments of making that decision, she is speaking to a nurse who is now going to find out what those challenges are in her life that are going to cause her, that are causing her to want to abort her child. So that nurse then begins to educate her on all of her options and talk her through that to find out what her true desire is. And it is typically to keep her child, but she again feels alone and unaware of what's out there to help her. So as we determine what those crisis challenges are, we introduce that support system to her, and it's a very comprehensive support system. And we use our social worker who gets on the phone, and for instance, if she's dealing with housing situation or she's lost her job, we're immediately going to start helping her to build a resume, find job leads, secure housing, getting her financials in order so that she can see hope for her situation and not the crisis. So instead of...
I don't know if we just lost Lori. I'm just going to... Lori, if we lost you, just...
Abort.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to... Just hold on a second, Lori. I was going to ask you, Amber, because Lori's talking about us. We're talking to Lori Zala and Amber Lehman from Human Coalition. By the way, that's humancoalition.org is the website. You don't have to live here or in Dallas. That they're all over the country, and this is something we all need to be behind. This is kind of a national organization, and then we have our local crisis pregnancy centers, and we should all be looking at both and helping both. Humancoalition.org. Amber, Lori mentioned timing. And one of the things with a lot of crisis pregnancy centers is they'll have a lot of gals come in that are, you know, just for whatever reason, it's a good place to go to get a pregnancy test. And they might not necessarily be 100% abortion minded. But talk about the timing, because if they're looking for a crisis pregnancy center, then they got to set an appointment.
Well, they're not looking for a crisis pregnancy center.
These are women that are looking for an abortion.
Yeah, 90% of the women that we serve at Human Coalition are planning to abort when we make contact with them. So that was something that we couldn't do as an independent pregnancy center. We hit about 45-50% of our clientele were that, but we could not get it to that 90%. But we have a full-time marketing team that is, all they're doing is making sure that the woman...
And this is marketing to the abortion-minded woman.
The woman seeking for... There are 1.8 million searches online each month for abortion clinic service terminology. So, you know, that's where they're going. And, you know, they're going to take the pregnancy test, and they're may already have had a decision made. And they're going to start going ahead and making that plan. It's under 7 days is the average for a woman to find out she's pregnant and get her abortion.
Wow.
And so, so we are intercepting them online the same day. And so what we found with the virtual clinic is, you know, 86% of the women will stay on for the nurse consultation. And so that's higher than any in the door rate that we've ever measured.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we're striking while the iron's hot, while they're ready to think about it. And it's getting in before they have issues with their car or pressuring people or any of those things that might keep them from coming to an appointment. And so we're able to take them from planning to abort to maybe wondering what they're going to do.
Well,
maybe, questioning that
absolutely.
And willing to walk through the doors of one of our owned and operated women's care clinics or through a partnering pregnancy center.
Yeah. Well, the reality is we live in the digital age, and before we talk to friends or family or anybody else, usually we talk to Google. And they go there and they figure it out. They go there first. And so the first voice that they hear, praise the Lord, in this case with Human Coalition and the virtual clinic, is somebody that's going to be, you know, addressing them and trying to help them along to choose life. Lori, tell us about the people that are actually taking these phone calls.
These are our nurses. We have nurses that are there so that they can provide medical information, talk her through her pregnancy symptoms. We also have social workers who are developing a care plan. They're trying to find out what her challenges are and then solve them. And we have so many state resources, ministries out there, social service programs, but she has no idea that any of them exist. So once you can show her that she can overcome her challenges by the support system that's already there to help her, then she has a better chance of choosing life for that child.
And how successful, when did the virtual clinic start at Human Coalition, and how successful has it been?
So 8 months ago, we have served over 14,000 clients. We have almost over 900 life decisions, and we have served women with those 14,000 women with over 75,000 programs and services to clients.
And those are women calling in from where?
All over the state of Texas. We're covering 99.6% of the state's population.
So 900 decisions there, and we're only talking about one state. It's a large state, but we're only talking about one out of 50.
In 8 months, yeah.
Yeah, that now, Amber, that's you've
so
been around this game
found,
for a while.
Yeah,
this
we kind of found the rock that David can use against Goliath.
Yes.
Yeah.
Literally, and not to hell with the people at Planned Parenthood, but to hell with Planned Parenthood
right,
the whole industry.
I mean, our what we're doing is building a national rescue system to reach women, rescue their children, and restore them to stability. And a national rescue, you think about all the rescue systems that are around us every day. There has not been until now a national strategic rescue system for these children. And so that's what we're doing. We're building the competitor to Planned Parenthood, and eventually we're going to outpace them.
Yeah.
But they are a $1.6 billion organization.
Yep,
and
right.
So without the church, without government funding, without all of those things coming together, and we chase all of those, then we're not going to be able to get there, but we believe we're going to get there.
Yeah. Well, absolutely.
And we're excited to get there.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things you notice when Lori was talking is that everybody that woman is talking to is a paid professional. We are not a volunteer-driven organization. Until she's made that life decision and gotten stabilized, we are working with professionals. I don't want to show up at the emergency room for my for my heart attack and get the volunteer
Absolutely.
Doc.
Well, we love and appreciate volunteers, and we need them.
Absolutely.
But in this case,
not at that time,
the most important part. Lori, thanks so much for calling in today. God bless you for your work. We look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you.
Okay, when we come back, you'll meet Serena. Serena on the other side of this conversation, and we'll talk about Serena and her son when we come back right after this.
They come walk, prayer walk.
That's awesome.
Prayer walk our clinic, raise money.
You know, see, when you bring a bull into a china shop, she doesn't care that the show is starting, a nationally syndicated Christian radio show. The music starts. Amber's like, I don't care. I have something to say. Forget it. I'm just going to talk anyway. That's all right. It's cool.
It was Amber. For Facebook Live.
It's just for Facebook Live. But here today, talking about such an important issue as we discuss life and Human Coalition, Women's Care Clinics, which is the network of clinics around the country. And Amber's been in that world for a while and has been a good friend of the show and a good friend of mine for a while. But the stories we usually hear the people on this side of that and that are serving and running clinics and doing all this kind of stuff. But today we'd like to round that out. And Amber, we have a special guest here in the studio today, as well as a special guest and two of her guests. So let's get kind of everybody in on this conversation and introduce us to her.
Yeah, so this is Serena, and she is one of my personal heroes and have grown a sweet friendship through the years. About 4 years ago, Serena walked through our clinic doors, and she has just shown so much courage, and from where was to where she is today has just been amazing, and that's... most of that's to do with just her courage and strength and smarts and wits and all of those things, but also the people of God shined in her life and our clinic shined in her life. And so we want Serena to tell us about her story.
Absolutely.
And so...
Serena, well, you're probably used to Amber putting you into uncomfortable situations, so this shouldn't be an unusual thing, but welcome to the show. It's great to meet you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's go back 4 years and tell us where you were at back then. What was going on?
Well, I was in Eastern North Carolina, and I had wanted to move. I was in between jobs. I was depressed where I was at, so I said, you know what? When I get some money, I was going to relocate. I relocated up this way, and during orientation, I felt like I was pregnant. I was like, okay. So something I ate, you know, it didn't go well or whatever. So I got on the internet, and I went on Google, and I was like, free pregnancy tests. So the women's clinic came up. So I was like, oh, okay. So I asked for an appointment. And they said, well, you can come in when you get off work. I was like, off work? Like, y'all open after 5? She was like, yeah, just come on in. Mm-hmm. So I went there, and I took a pregnancy test. And sure enough, I was pregnant. So I immediately started getting depressed. I kind of like blacked out. I was like, I ain't hear nothing they were saying. It was like, So with that being said, I ignored the situation. I left. You know, I was really looking for abortion options, because this is what I thought this was. It was an abortion clinic. But when she told me, you know, you can have like different options as far as adoption options, you know, what there's other options rather than aborting. So I went on about my married life. I was like, I'm not pregnant or whatever. And I just
denial.
Yeah, I'm tired. Nope,
take a
I'm
cruise down the river, denial. Yeah, you're not the only one to do that.
So Rachel called me. Sarah called me. I ignored their call.
All clinic staff.
Yeah, just kept calling me. And I just ignored them. Then finally, I just picked up the phone. And they said, you know, Serena, I don't want you to be afraid. Because there's a lot of people that, a lot of women that goes through what you go through. You know, this is not the end of the world. But if you can save one life, then you have saved a baby. You know, and that was the importance. You know, so with that being said, I went on and started receiving help. Because where I come from, it's like you do or die. You struggle. Yeah, we have social service and different things like that, but I've never seen an amazing clinic such as the Women's Clinic. Never in my life. So I was afraid to ask for help. I was afraid to tell my family. I already had two kids that I can barely take care of. And then here I am pregnant. And I'm with a guy that I didn't even know that if we was going to make it. It was just that bad. Yeah. So that's why I wanted an abortion. Because I didn't want to bring another child in this world. And I had to raise it by myself. I already raised my other two, was raising them.
There was
by
no naivete for her to roll off of, like exactly. With her first kid.
Yeah. And so.
But that's the thing that's so important that we need to hear is that even in the midst of that, you feel like there's no hope.
Right.
And I can't possibly do this because all you can count on at that point is yourself.
Right. That's exactly how I felt. But as life went on and, you know, I was. Through the pregnancy, they did help me with a lot of stuff. They helped me with the, I took budgeting classes. I took spiritual classes. They offered me breastfeeding classes, you know, learning how to breastfeed. They also, I participated in Holiday Connection, where people come and they bring us food for like Thanksgiving and Christmas. Wow. They also gave us like Christmas gifts. The boys, they got like, they just gave us a list of what we wanted. I wanted, you know, like simple stuff and stuff like that. I didn't want to be greedy, so.
I mean, the thing that's important to know is that it's not, Amber, it's not, hey, you chose life. Praise the Lord. Great job. Mm-hmm. Here's some options once you have the baby. See you later.
Right. No.
Now it's, we're going to walk with these people the whole time.
We have the social worker. That's licensed for the resources, but then as she's stabilizing, we want to bring in that mentor, and then that mentor helps her to be able to navigate some of these other things that we promote, like having the baby shower, meals when the baby comes, all the things we would do for our friends at church. Yeah. We want to do for this new friend and holiday connections. And so with all of those things, the stuff is helpful,
right?
But it's the relationship we're really promoting. So we can go and reach and rescue and restore more. The church can come around somebody like Serena and hold her up at her arms and walk with her through the valleys.
Yeah. Well, Serena, how did that make you feel? All these people that you didn't know all of a sudden are in your life and basically there to serve you and help you.
I knew at that point there was a God, because God is love, and people, they showed me love. The women's clinic, the churches, you know, I was kind of like scared at first because I don't ask for help. You know, I try to do it all on my own, but to actually have a clinic that actually cared, somebody cared about me and my family and our well-being, that meant a lot.
And we were asking, right. What are your needs? Do you have any bills that you're struggling with? Mm-hmm. Do you have, you know, are you good on groceries? What kind of job do you want?
Yeah, because oftentimes, like, kind mm-hmm. of the pro-choice world mm-hmm. will say, you guys only care about the baby and only when it's in the womb. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about the church coming around and caring about you, mm-hmm. your family, all your situation.
Mm-hmm. We want the church going with them to drop their kids off at kindergarten.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Right? That there's this bond and this relationship, and you break down the walls between coming from different cities or different sides of the track, so to speak, or any of those types of things. Like, break those walls down and have genuine friendship. And I'll tell them, you may not be who, you know, I might not be who you want to see a movie with on Friday night,
yeah.
but we can have a genuine friendship. And that's one of the things that I appreciate about Serena, is that she's let me and other people
yeah.
in. And
that's awesome.
And now we're getting ready to enjoy a celebration of a big moment in her life.
A big moment in Serena's life. That sounds like an announcement or something.
Well,
through all of this, me and Adonis' father, we are engaged.
Oh, congratulations.
So I'm getting married.
Look at that,
please. Oh, look at this. Wow, beautiful. How about that? That's so cool. Congratulations.
And even before that,
well, you mentioned Adonis. Who's that?
That's my son.
Yeah, come on in.
That's Adonis over there. Hey, Adonis. Adonis is on the other side here in the studio.
He's coming
in. He's three. He's a little stud. He's a cute boy. There's Adonis for everybody on Facebook Live.
He's almost as tall as me.
So Adonis was who you were talking about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now Adonis is three. Is that right?
Yes.
Wow. Awesome.
You want to look at that camera right there and wave
Say
at people?
Hi.
Wave everybody. They're over there.
Hi.
See that little thing there? There you go, buddy. Cool. So Amber, for you, I mean, you've been at this a while. This can't ever get old.
Oh, no.
This was
at all.
A conversation and a concern. He can play with whoever he wants to. And then, all of a sudden, there he is.
Yeah.
There's Serena, and there's Adonis at 3 years of age. Beautiful little boy.
I mean, and Serena's just been so open to go and share and be on things like this. And, you know, we just have watched her grow from needing help with her electric bill to buying her own house.
Wow.
You know, full-time career, getting married now. And
go, girl.
And very engaged in her church and, you know, loving God and just all of that. And I think one of the points to make here for the church is that doesn't happen overnight. You don't come and instill your wisdom.
No.
And things change in 3 months.
It takes time.
It takes time. It takes years.
Yeah. Well, that's true for all of us. And that's a relationship. And it's not just one and done. You're not out of there. We're supposed to be walking with people and continue to walk with people. And, of course, we're going to talk about 4,000 steps. And one of those action things that you can take advantage of, if you've seen the movie Unplanned, or maybe you haven't, but you're listening to this conversation, the question is always going to be, what do you do? I don't know about you, Amber. I don't know a single Christian who actually is born again. They're actually a son or daughter of the Lord. They're in the church. They're in the faith. That doesn't say they're pro-life.
Right.
But the challenge is, what do you do beyond saying that?
There's a disconnect, and I want to touch on the disconnect.
Okay, when we come back, we'll talk about that and how you can engage in the last segment. So don't go anywhere, because you need to do something with that passion that's welling up in you right now. I always say this on the air when we make you aware of something. With knowledge comes responsibility. And what you do with that, we're going to tell you exactly what to do with that when we come back, talking to Amber Lehman from Human Coalition, Serena and Adonis. Thanks for being here. God bless you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll be right back.
All my life I've been searching for something. Something never comes, never leads to nothing. Nothing satisfies, but I'm getting close. Closer to the prize at the end of the rope.
What are you laughing about, Amber? This is Steve Noble.
Because I'm ready to go into a mosh pit.
Yeah, that's welcome to my life. I am a mosh pit. And this, I actually have that background. Does that surprise you? Back in my college days. So get this.
Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. So, all right. So we'll exchange mosh pit stories. We'll do this real quickly, okay? So when I was in college, I became the little punk rocker. This is back in the second half of the 1980s. My bangs were down to my chin, okay? I wore an upside down cross in my left ear. I got a pierced ear. And in Chicago, we used to have, they called juice bars. So they were all ages. And we had Naked Ray Gun, Dead Kennedys, all these crazy punk bands. And we would go in and get into the mosh pit where people were beating the tar out of each other. And that was fun. But I used to do that. That was
same thing.
You did the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. It was in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Oh, well, I mean, what kind?
All my friends were in a garage band. And I remember being at this party, and I was on top of a refrigerator, hunkered down in like 2 feet of space between the refrigerator.
What a good
and
time.
The ceiling. And I'm so glad that Jesus redeemed me.
Amen, sister.
He has not redeemed all of my memory cells, I don't think. But.
One day that'll all be gone. We don't have to worry about it. Anyway, we're talking to Amber Lehman from Human Coalition, which is the nationwide network of women's care clinics. And she's here in Raleigh, North Carolina. We've been talking to Serena, who is sharing her beautiful story. And the question, of course, is always, and the question that we should all wrestle with and then wrestle to the ground and then answer, Amber, is what do we do? How can we get involved? How can we get engaged? How can we be a part of somebody's story like Serena's? How can we be a part of saving not only the lives of these babies, but to see mom's lives transformed and family's lives transformed? Because there's something going on here in Raleigh, Raleigh, North Carolina, on Saturday, April 27th. But again, whether you live here or not is irrelevant. Everybody can participate. So tell us about 4,000 Steps.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to step back and talk about first that we do have a disconnect inside of our Christian life in this issue. And we've been really wrestling with this as individuals inside of our organization, even who deal with this issue every day, all day, is how would we function differently if it was toddlers instead of preborn children?
Oh, man. Yep.
Like we all naturally connect emotionally as the child gets older. And that's we're in a culture that's very passion driven. And for this issue, you have to be conviction driven. You have to believe deep in your soul that you don't have an option but to stay steadfast until your dying breath. It's a conviction.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't feel good. It's not a big emotional return on investment. You may or may not get to meet a Serena or an Adonis. You might not be able to get to be involved in that. You may connect with a woman who doesn't connect back and walks away. Yeah. And you got to keep pushing. And
that's a great point, because you can have a belief. You can believe that life is precious as it is, human dignity. We can believe everything that the Bible says and teaches so clearly on the issue of life. But to have a conviction about, convictions don't go away.
Right.
Convictions stay with you. Conviction,
they don't wane with your emotion.
No, it's a 65-pound rock in a backpack that stays on your back for the rest of your life. And that's God-given. It's a conviction that you need to then act on.
And if we were having a million toddlers executed on playgrounds, we would all be laying down our lives.
Right.
We would be selling all that we had to put guards around those playgrounds. And so, but we don't do that. We don't do that in this issue. And so, you know, that's what we're asking ourselves. And that's what we're asking our supporters and our non-supporters to think about is how would you be different? Like, ask that question with you and the Lord and let the Lord reveal that inconsistency, because I have it too.
Sure, we all do.
We all have it. I'm far more connected to that child that is, you know, that's why, you know, Light It Up Pink in New York City and everybody is all outraged. Well, why aren't they just as outraged at an 8-week abortion that suctions that child out in pieces?
Yeah, because now we know, if you've seen Unplanned, you know what that looks like. You know the reality now.
You know, and so we have a disconnect. So I think that, you know, if your listeners will be honest with themselves and ask the question, God, why? What would you have me do differently? Yeah, let me treat the preborn like they're toddlers or 5-year-olds or teenagers.
Exactly. Well, the Catholic Church has a teaching that they just nail this. It's called moral proximity. And God's going to hold you a lot more accountable for the things closer to you than he is for hungry kids in Africa, although I'm not saying hungry kids in Africa don't matter, because they do. But you're a whole lot more responsible for what's going on in your backyard. And with a lot of people I've met in front of abortion clinics recently, the first time they've come out, praise the Lord, they didn't. And I asked this recently in a large group. None of them knew where abortion clinics were, although they each had one in their own city. Mm-hmm. None of them been by one. None of them prayed in front of one. And that's where you got to move from, yeah, I'm pro-life, to, yeah, I'm pro-life, and now here's what I'm doing about it.
Abortion is the leading cause of death in America, and it's 100% preventable.
How about that?
100%.
Yeah, mic drop. Boom.
Right?
100%.
Serena walks into our door. There's resources for her. There's the church around her. And maybe we won't win them all, but we sure could come close. And with the virtual clinic and, you know, as we expand that into North Carolina, we already have clinics in Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Charlotte, Raleigh, Atlanta, Dallas, Fort Worth. We have 14 clinics in seven markets, and we're moving into every abortion dense market in the nation.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
And so we are going to outpace Planned Parenthood, and we can end this. There is hope.
Oh, absolutely. There pray boldly hope. All the time that abortion will end in our lifetime and sooner as opposed to later.
Let us get out of a job, please.
Amen. No
Thank
kidding.
Thank you. Yeah, I would love to go do something.
Yeah,
else.
Get to Amber, force Amber into another business somewhere. Yeah. Okay, 4,000
steps.
Okay,
4,000 steps is a fundraising event that's going on right now. People sign up typically through their church, but even if you're not in the area, you can be a virtual participant.
A virtual walker.
Yeah, for the virtual clinic. No? Yeah.
Sure.
We like doing virtual
We're
things
all about
around
virtual.
Here.
Welcome to the digital
We're
world.
We're all
baby.
About removing every obstacle to saying yes.
That's right. Amen.
And so you can log on and you can start a team. You can just be a participant. You can join a team that's already there. You can sponsor a walker who's on there. The event is next Saturday.
A week from this Saturday, right?
But don't worry about being late to the game because most people do all their work in the last 10 days anyway.
That's for sure, yeah.
And so you're right on time. About 70% of the...
So if they can get to the Raleigh area, they can actually come out and
Absolutely.
Participate on-site.
Yeah, it's at Imago Day Church on 9200 Strickland Road. Imago Day in is Latin, not Spanish. And
thanks for that.
And we are going to have we have vendors and food and face painting and a bunch of fun stuff. It's a ministry expo, so we have some of our ministry partners that come out. And
now we
set
have people
up.
Listening as far away as Honolulu, Hawaii, Albuquerque, New Mexico. We have people in Indianapolis, Kansas City, down in St. Augustine, Florida, and Jacksonville, Florida, all over the place. How do they get involved? So the people that can get here, we want them there on site. Absolutely,
absolutely.
And come out and walk for lives. Come
yep.
out and walk
hey,
for somebody like Adonis and somebody like
they're
Serena.
They're going to walk through learning stations. They have the option to do two out of three. It's kind of like breakout sessions. We have a guided prayer walk.
Oh, awesome.
And then we also are bringing in the vice president of the ERLC, the Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission,
nice.
Dan Darling, as well as Jay Watts from Merely Human. And we're going to do a panel discussion to debunk the myths of the pro-abortion arguments to equip people
it's
to
very
have
informative
some of those
as well
hard
as being a fundraiser.
Conversation. We're going to record that as well.
Yeah, awesome.
So
and then what can people do
out
outside the market? If they live somewhere else, how
so
do they
sign up as a virtual participant. That would be great. You raise money from your friends and family. Give yourself, you know, it's a giving. It's a fundraising event. So we're not here to twiddle our thumbs and
Amen.
Walk
That's
away
right.
without money to pay for professionals to rescue children. So, you
and
know,
what time of day is it? Thanks for that, Serena. She's
yeah.
passing you notes in class.
It's Saturday morning. Check-in from 8 to 9. And then activities. We start with some worship.
And an awesome family event. Because
oh, yeah,
we should
yeah,
be
yeah.
teaching
yeah,
our kids
friendly,
about this, too.
No, not graphic images. You know, it's a family.
We've got the links, by the way, up on Facebook Live to all the information for Human Coalition to be a part of 4,000 Steps. The easier way to do it, because that's the way we live in, if you just Google 4,000 Steps RDU, as in Raleigh-Durham, that's all you need to do. Just Google 4,000 Steps RDU, and you're going to get to the same page.
And then we also have one participant page that is Client Jessica. And so if you don't know anybody that's participating that you want to sponsor. I mean, don't get me wrong. Everybody asking for money wouldn't mind a surprise gift on
of
their
course,
page from a stranger. That'd
yes.
be great. But we have Client Jessica. And so if you get to that 4,000 Steps event page, you can just search for Client Jessica. And that's at humancoalition.org/4,000steps RDU. That was long, wasn't it?
That was long. Or just Google 4,000
Steps
RDU. Or Google
4,000
Steps RDU. Serena, before we run out of time, now you've shared your story at 4,000 Steps before, right?
Yes.
And what was that like?
It was amazing. You know, just getting there, being able to tell my story. You know, like I said, the aha moment was when I had the ultrasound. Just seeing Adonis in my stomach and hearing the heartbeat say, don't. Don't. It was like he was saying, don't, mommy. Don't, mommy. You know, and I just thank God that I chose life because my birthday was yesterday, and he sung happy birthday to me all day yesterday. And if I didn't choose life, I wouldn't have that experience.
Yeah.
And he has changed my life tremendously. Yeah. And I just thank God for the Women's Clinic and Human Coalition.
Amen. So, Amber, last chart. We got about a minute and a half till we're all done. But just last words of encouragement and challenge to everybody listening, whether they're here in the area or not, to get involved with 4,000 Steps and get involved in general.
Yeah, I mean, it is not cheap to run a national rescue system, paid professionals. And we want to give every child the best possible chance to get to live, right? And so we typically have fundraising. We have a couple of fundraising events, but then we have some campaigns where we can match your dollars in around Mother's Day, which is in a month.
Yeah,
so
awesome.
You can pray for a month and write a big six-figure check to me.
Amen.
We love it when those show up and we didn't have to go chase it down.
No kidding.
But we also appreciate the two-figure check. And
that's right, because they all matter.
Every bit of it matters. So, you know, treat them like toddlers.
And everything changes then, doesn't it?
It really does. Yeah. It really does. And I would say pray for our nurses. You know, they they're engaging a lot of hard cases every day. So our social workers are. And they're also meeting children on the screen and confirming.
Yeah.
Confirming
and sometimes
that
they're the last person to see them alive.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Let's get involved, everybody. Yeah. Google 4,000 Steps RDU. Yeah. 4,000 Steps RDU. Amber Lehman.
Thanks.
Serena, thanks so much
Steve.
For being here.
Thank you for having me.
God bless you guys. God willing. I'll talk to you again real soon.